that are now young adults around here. Anthony and his family, and Steve and his soon-to-be family. Just great. God blessing this church with generations. Don't take it for granted. James 4, verses 1 through 6. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet we have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world, you're the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. I'm going to take my subject from the last portion of that Scripture. The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. And my subject tonight, the Holy Ghost jealously desires you. The Holy Ghost jealously desires you. Would you put your Bibles down? Would you grab the person's hand beside you if it's proper to do so? And raise them towards heaven. And ask God to anoint the preacher and the listener tonight. So let's hear what the Spirit has to say. Jesus, we need you, Lord. We need your help. We need your anointing. We need you to do a work in this place tonight, God. Make us conscious of your Spirit. Make us conscious of your power. Make us conscious of your anointing. For we look to you, Lord. We must lean on you. God bless you. You may be seated. I want us to understand something at the very first night of this music conference about the Holy Ghost. And that is, the Holy Ghost deserves your attention. The greatest desire of the pastor of Alexandria, which is me, for our people there, and to the music ministers that are here, to your pastor back home, is for the people that I pastor to be spiritual people. I'm not talking about people that are just faithful to church. I'm not talking about people that just involve in programs or in music or activities or promotions or whatever. But as pastor of the church in Alexandria, I long, I desire, I thirst more than anything else for our people to have a walk with God. I long for our people to be able to say with the apostle, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. I want tonight to take you through some experience. It would be very quickly, because it's not merely about what my message is built upon, nor do I want to give you an autobiography through message tonight of Anthony Mangan. But there have been some outstanding spiritual experiences, and the last one is what I am building my message on tonight. There have been some mountaintop experiences that have changed my life. Of course, first of all, I would have to put there February the 7th, 1957, when I knelt at an old-fashioned altar at 7 years of age, and I repented of my sins. And I raised my hands toward heaven, and suddenly, as Sister Trout gave to us tonight, there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the house where I was kneeling. There appeared unto me cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon me, and I began to speak a heavenly language as the Spirit of God gave me the utterance. Let me tell you, one of the greatest nights that's ever happened to any of us was when God baptized us with the Holy Ghost and changed us completely. Hallelujah. Never forget that day when God looked down on you, a no good, filthy, low down, corrupt, vile sinner. But he thought enough of you, fortunate enough to baptize you with
one came along when I was 10 years of age. First of all, when I knelt at a platform rocker at the end of my bed, my mother and father were in Ohio preaching at a Sunday school convention. I was there by myself, but they had prepared me for a time when this would happen. And it was a special time with me when God called me into His ministry. And then some years later, when I walked before the congregation, and I looked at those folks in Alexandria that had seen me raised there. And again, February, seems like February is an important month in my life. But I looked at that congregation and announced to them, 1969 it was, that I was going to Winfield to preach my very first sermon and my very first revival. And it began some 15 years ago for me. And it seems like the next great event was when I began to proclaim the gospel, a message that is so powerful, a message that changes lives, a message that can change a city. It's a message so powerful that the Bible says, if an angel comes to you and tell you any other, you tell him to bid him Godspeed. And don't say one word to him, because it's a message that the gates of hell shall not prevail against. It's a message that the church is built upon, and it shall forever stand. It was an important time. Let me leave myself and let me lead you to your second point. It was when God put a call upon you as a minister of music. It was when God called you. You know the hour, you know the time. Outside of receiving the Holy Ghost, to those of you being this is a music conference, to those of you that your talent is built around music, in this great apostolic movement, no doubt the second important time in your life was when you realized that God was going to use you in the realm and the talent of music. But the third important time in my life was when God spoke to me and I realized that I didn't have to be just a normal, regular run-of-the-mill, rubber stamp, copyist or conformist preacher. It was when I realized and it dawned on me that I was not going to be just another preacher. I was not going to be just another pastor. I was not going to be just another evangelist. But I said, if God will go with me, and if God has called me, I believe there doesn't have to be empty altars. I believe that there can be a growing, thriving church. I believe there can be an apostolic ministry. Oh, I wouldn't want to be presumptuous tonight, but I want to tell you one of the greatest events in my life as a minister when I realized that the hand of God will move mightily upon you. And that God chooses you to excel and to attain greatness through His Spirit. You don't have to be an ordinary music director. You don't have to be an ordinary singer. The only thing we got to search for is say, God, you call me. Now, I'm not just going to be the ordinary. I want a special anointing and a special blessing to rest on my life. And then the last impact on my life, it's what I am going to preach on tonight. The last great influence upon my life was when I realized, listen to me closely, when it dawned on me that the Holy Ghost is not just an initial experience of talking in tongues, but the Holy Ghost is joy, peace, happiness, love, glory, and power, and a sound mind. This book tells me that the Holy Ghost is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I realized, even after being a preacher, I realized, even after receiving the Holy Ghost, I realized, even after being baptized in Jesus' name, I realized, not long ago, mind you, after being raised in this by Holy Ghost God-fearing parents, and being the pastor also as well as my parents, it finally dawned on me that I was ignoring the Holy Ghost. I was failing to really be consumed by the Holy Ghost. I was not communicating with Him on a regular basis. It dawned on me not long ago that the Holy Ghost was to be my God. You think I'm plumb off? You say, well, where have you been? I'm going to show you where you are. When it dawned on me that the Holy Ghost wanted to be my counselor, He wanted to be my comforter, He wanted to be my mother, He wanted to be my father, a little more monitor please, He wanted to be my sister, He wanted to be my brother, He wanted to be my friend above all else. It dawned on me that the Holy Ghost wanted to be my guide. That I could walk with Him. That I could talk with Him. That I could ask of Him which road I should take, and He would give me the answer. I would know what to do that day because He would tell me. I would know what sermon to preach. I would know what song to sing. I would know what testimony to give. I don't claim to be a spiritual man. I am a human. I realize that. But the greatest day in my life was when the Holy Ghost became as real to me as my pastor, as my wife, as my counselor, as my captain, as my leader, as my teacher. Don't get me wrong. I'm not preaching on the Trinity tonight. I am not going off into false doctrine. But I want to tell you, it's time we start addressing the Holy Ghost. You say, what is Jesus Christ? It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When I've always gone to the throne of grace, I've always gone to Jesus Christ. That's who the Holy Ghost is. But not long ago, it dawned on me. I'm going to start talking some of the Holy Ghost. That's what's on the inside of me. It's the Holy Ghost. So long, we have not been allowing the Holy Ghost to be an influence in our lives. We Pentecostals are so hung up on the initial experience. We are so concerned about getting that sinner down there, him talking in tongues, and I still am encouraged about that, and still believe that's what it takes to be saved. But I believe, brother, when you get up from that initial experience, that the Holy Ghost becomes an influence, a direct influence in your life that leads and guides and talks and walks and directs your path. How tragic it is that we Pentecostals that are baptized with the Holy Ghost, we live, we buy, we sell, and we sleep. We talk to each other. We talk to our friends. Yet we talk to our loved ones. We talk to judges. We talk to lawyers. We take all of our problems to our pastors and pour it on them. We talk to our neighbors. We hear everybody else, but we seldom talk to the Holy Ghost. I have come to this congregation tonight telling you that God wants to bring deliverance to some of you. We allow days. We allow weeks. We allow sometimes months to go by without the help, the guidance, the advice, the direction of the Holy Ghost. Oh, what it would be like tonight if every one of us could realize what the Holy Ghost wants to do in our life. James 4, verse 5 is telling us this. Allow Mangan to paraphrase it. This is Mangan's translation of James 4 and 5. The Holy Ghost that dwells in us has a great desire to have something that another has that is rightly his. He desires to have something that another has that is rightly his. God, the Holy Ghost, jealously desires the Spirit to indwell us. And not only indwell us, but totally control us for His call, for His purpose. For this book says we are not our own, but we have been bought with a price. The Holy Ghost jealously desires you. He wants your gifts. He wants your abilities. He wants your graces. He wants your skills. He wants your total self. The Holy Ghost, the Bible says, lest us. Everybody say, lest us. We take that word in this day and time, and it's taken out of context, and it's only applied the sexual way. But the Bible says that the Holy Ghost lusts us. He wants something so bad that He is jealously envious over it. He has envy in His heart. But then I say, the Holy Ghost wants what you are giving to somebody else. He wants what is rightfully His. Now what is this thing that the Holy Ghost lusts us and envious and jealously craves? What is this thing that He desires so greatly and lusts us after? Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. Teach us, Lord, to flee fornication, and every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against the body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Look at me, church. Hear me tonight. I belong to the Holy Ghost. You belong to Jesus Christ, who dwells in you, the hope of glory. You belong to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost has claim on your life. Hear me. The very fact that I am His, and He does not have what is rightfully His, He lacks to eat me until He gets it. He jealously desires something that is His. He wants badly. He does not have it yet of all of us, but He wants it. This is how dangerous this message is tonight. God is a jealous God. Don't you ever forget it. God is a jealous God. And He is saying to us on the very first night of this convention, He is saying to the pastors, He's saying to the preachers, He's saying to the music directors, He's saying to the saints of Dover, Delaware, I want your heart. I want your mind. I want your strength. I want your body. It's mine. If another has your heart, God is jealous. If another has your hand, God is jealous. If another has your mind, God is jealous. God wants all control, not just a part. He wants all of your heart. It does not belong to anybody else. It belongs to God. If you have ever received the Holy Ghost that first time, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. I want to tell you, God's going after what is His. And He's here tonight. And He's talking to we preachers. And He's talking to the minister of music. He's saying, look, you've given me a part. You've given me some. But I am here after all of you. I want all of your mind. I want all of your eyes. I want all of your ears. I want all of your hands. I want every member of your body. It belongs to me. And if the world or if carnality or if slothfulness, or if laziness, or if complacency has any part of it, God says, I'm jealous about it. What know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Anthony Mangan is not his own. God purchased me, Revelation 3, with 1:5, Revelation says He purchased the church with His own blood. I do not have my mind to make my decision. I do not have my mind to choose my sermon. I do not have my ears to hear my pretty self preach. I do not have my hands just to clap for myself. You hear me tonight? Every sermon I preach, it better be because the Holy Ghost told me to preach it. Every song that is sung, it better be because the Holy Ghost told you to sing it. There's too much in Pentecost now that's relying on our talents and relying on our abilities and relying on what we've learned. We better get back to a dependence on an old-fashioned move of the Holy Ghost. He wants my tongue. He wants my hands. He wants my ears. Sure, I'm saved. I'm not preaching Holy Ghost for salvation. No doubt just about everybody in here, with the exception of just a few, probably is rapture ready. But I'm preaching those of you that had the Holy Ghost 30 years. I'm preaching those of you that had the Holy Ghost 20 years. I'm telling you, it's time we quit talking about what we got 50 years ago and we start realizing it's not an initial experience, but we must rely it on what song to sing. We must rely on it on what sermon to preach. occupied with the Spirit of the Almighty God. We've got to love Him with all of our heart. We've got to love Him with all of our soul. We've got to love Him with all of our mind. We've got to love Him with all of our strength. If we don't love Him with all, He said, I am jealous. I lusteth after you. Can you imagine God lusting after Paul Anthony Davis? Can you imagine God lusting after you? But He said, when I see that something that is created for me doing something else, I lust to envy. Those hands are my hands. That voice is my voice. That choir that you direct is my choir. It belongs to me. And when I see you going somewhere else to try to have help, I can't stand it. You are mine, and I'm jealous about you. My feet, when I got full of the Holy Ghost, my feet were made to walk His path. And it's a path of holiness that no boss's eye has ever seen. My mind was made to think on Him. My heart was made to love Him. My tongue was made which to praise Him. And if you don't do those things that God created you to do, the Holy Ghost is saying, I'm jealous, I'm envious. I see you talking to others, but you never talk to me about what you're going to see. I see you reading other books, and you never open the Bible, let me talk to you. I see you enjoying your friends, and you never come enjoy me, your true friend. I see you going to other places, and you never meet me in any special place with special reasons involved. Let me ask you, have you spent any time in the last 24 hours enjoying the Holy Ghost? Now think on what I said. Have you in the last 24 hours enjoyed the Holy Ghost? It is an abominable, wicked sin for us to spend our time enjoying one another and never spend any time enjoying God. The Holy Ghost is here tonight on the first night of this music conference for us. Hear me. He is here tonight. You are mine. Enjoy me. Don't forget about me. I want you to learn theory. I want you to learn where the bass notes go. I want you to know the difference in a bass clef and a treble clef. I want you to learn all those things. But when you're learning that, you remember, I'm lusting after every bit of your talent. I want your hand. I want your mind. I want you here to learn. But the reason why I want you to learn it is not to parade it before some congregation. But I want you to learn it that you might magnify me. And that you might lift up my name. I want your life. I want your body. I want your mind. I want it. He sees my life filled with other things. And that's when I really got convicted as a preacher. This has even happened since I've been pastoring back in Alexandria. I got convicted because I had my life as a preacher filled with other things. Sometimes I can get so busy counseling. And this really got a hold of me this past week. I could spend so much time serving the Lord that I forget about having fellowship with the Lord. And I spent my time counseling people. And I spent my time making hospital calls. And I spent my time serving and shepherding after my congregation. You say, well, isn't that serving the Lord? That's service with the Lord. But that's not fellowship with the Lord. Until finally Saturday night, my wife can tell you, I broke off all by myself. I went to the church. I said, I don't have time for my wife. I don't have time for my daughter. I'm not going to take another counseling session. Until first of all, I see what the Holy Ghost has to say about that music conference in Dover, Delaware. I've got to see what the Holy Ghost has to say. And the very first thing I want to get established tonight is do music, ministers of music. You better get back to relying on the Holy Ghost to be your guide. You better let the Holy Ghost direct that choir. You better let the Holy Ghost teach that choir. You better let the Holy Ghost anoint those ivories. You better let the Holy Ghost dwell in you. You better let the Holy Ghost get a hold of you. Here is the whole message of the sermon that I am preaching tonight. The thing that stirred his envy and his jealousy the most. Listen closely. It's when he sees another doing his work. You work at a place for a lifetime. I've seen with my father. I just thank God that I'm his son. But I've been with my dad now for 3 years, and in 3 years I've heard him preach 3 sermons. He'll preach while I'm gone, but while I'm there, he wants me to do the preaching. But I looked at him even Sunday. Now, I was wondering if somebody else would have been standing in that pulpit, and he would feel the reins of that thing as he is passing the torch on to his son. Now, if it had been anybody else but his son, he would probably kick him out of there, because that's the job that he's been doing there for 34 years. And no doubt, even when he looks up there and sees me, he probably thinks like, my, that's the job that I'm supposed to be doing. But I've moved on up in age, and Dad looks there, no doubt, at me, and he is so thrilled I'm there. But there has to be something on the inside of him, because now I am starting to take over something that he has been doing for 34 years. And when I thought on that, and my wonderful father sitting there, watching me as I began to take control and lead that congregation, I began to think how the Holy Ghost must feel when he sees somebody else doing what he is supposed to be doing. Or he sees us leaning on something else when we're supposed to be leaning on him. And the Holy Ghost says, to think it is mine. I bought you with my precious blood. And somebody else now is using you, which you belong to me. He says, I begin to lust. He sees me getting happiness and comfort and health and strength and pleasure from other sources. And then never allowing the Holy Ghost to work on the inside of my life and my situation and my circumstance. He said, when I see you getting joy somewhere else, but for me, I left us to jealousy. I left us to envy, because I desire to give you joy. I desire to give you peace. I desire to give you happiness. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. Listen, college students. Listen, Kent Christian College. Those of you that's graduating and going out. Those of you that's aspiring to the minister. I'm preaching scatterbrained to everybody tonight, and I gotta cover it all. Listen to me, preacher. There is nothing that can take the place of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. You can know your sermon. You can be an archer out of the book. I know preachers, and I've watched them, and I talked about it not long ago. And I wouldn't nearly got called names, but I know men that could walk to a pulpit. And there was one I recall used to preach in Louisiana Academy every 2 or 3 years. And brother, he could quote scripture, was good with one God and the name of Jesus. And it could bring people to their feet. And there was sudden excitement. And that's great and that's fantastic. But you hear me? What's done is not in the sermon. It's not how good you can spit it out. It's not how your vocabulary is. It's not how well all together you know the Word of God. But you hear me, minister of music. You hear me, young men aspiring for the minister. The thing that's going to make your music department outstanding. The thing that's going to make your ministry outstanding is when you get in the closet all by yourself and you say, God, I've had to prepare myself. I've studied, and you wouldn't bless it if I didn't study. Don't let me nearly about misrepresent preparing a sermon or preparing a choir. I believe you better study. I believe you better prepare till you fall out. I believe in reading myself to sleep every night. I believe in that. But let me tell you what I believe is stronger than that. It's when I get away in a closet all by myself and say, Holy Ghost, hear me tonight. I can't do it without you. That sermon won't go without you. Why? Because you know what? You know what, Daniel? If you could realize, ministers of music, the Holy Ghost is there. I want it. Listen, I want your talent. Don't give that to nobody else. Don't try doing it on your own. I'm lusting after you. I'm in love with you. I'm lusting to have you. I'm lusting so strong. It's the envy. I envy you. I'm jealous of you. And the Holy Ghost is wanting to anoint you if you'll just talk to him. The thing we need to realize is the Holy Ghost is more than a passport to heaven. Hello! Holy Ghost is more than just your birth certificate. You can understand without thinking I've gone off in the Trinity. It's a person. It's Christ in you. The hope of glory. It's Jesus down in here.
Heard my
ago came on the scene. He had just buried his mother. My mother was 7 months toward giving birth to me at the time. And my dad had lost his mother. And he walked up those steps there, those steep stairs in Plymouth, Indiana. And he knelt down beside that bed, and he was the only son. And big old tears were flowing. He told me many times, he said, Anthony, it felt like 10 million tons was on my chest. He said, when I did, I went over and I opened the door. And I told your mother to open the window. It was hot in there. And he said, I got down on my face. And she got down beside me and put her arm around me. And your mother and I began to pray. And I said, oh, God, I've carried this as far as I can carry it. I've gone as far as I could go. Lord, I buried my mother today. And my dad said, all of a sudden, there was a wind that began to blow those curtains. And it blew right through that room and right on out the front door. He said, and the Holy Ghost reached down and touched him. And he said, from that day to this, he has missed his mother. But the Holy Ghost came in that room just a few hours after he had buried her. And there was an uplift that came. Hear me, folks. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow. The Holy Ghost blew into that room, and thank God tonight we have a comforter. We as ministers of music and as pastors and preachers, we go through heartaches. And you beautiful laity, we go through heartache and we go through heartbreak without him. And the Holy Ghost says, I want you to give it to me. If you'll just give it to me, I want to take it. I don't want somebody else doing my job. I want to take care of you. I lust to help you. I'm jealous of you if you try anything else. I want to help you. Get the message. The Holy Ghost yearns to do something for us. 10 months ago, there was a young man in our church. He and his wife had two fabulous daughters. And they were a part of our church. And there was something that came up that he was not totally happy with. And it was because of the stand that Dad and I took against a particular situation on as far as the discipline of the church and as far as the standards that we feel like God has laid down in the Scripture for that a Christian ought to abide by on the pathway of holiness. And they left 10 months ago. Last Monday, she sat in my office. And she sat there and she said, we have not been happy since we left. She said, we have been nothing but one fight into another fight. And said, I am as miserable as I can be. And I am going to talk to Jerry tonight. And if he don't bring me back to this church, I don't know what I'm going to do. I told Sister Miller, I said, well, try to get a hold of yourself. I said, try to pull yourself together. That was on a Monday the following Tuesday. Just this past Tuesday, in fact, it was a week ago today. He came home, they got in a big fight, and she took out a gun, began to shoot at him, and he began to run, and she turned it on herself and killed herself. I mean, less than 14 to 16 hours after I had talked to her. And as I heard that, and they called me at my home, even a young man that had been gone for 10 months from our church, and it was his fault because she was not in our church. She didn't want to leave in the first place. And I left there, and I went running to him. And when I got to him, I threw my arms around him. Even after some of the things that he had said, I threw my arms around him. And I began to love him. And I began to hug him. And he broke. And he cried. And he began to say, I love you, Brother Anthony. And I thought right there, oh, when I heard that message, the only thing I wanted to do, I ran through red lights. The only thing I wanted to do was get to Jerry and put him in my arms and hold him and tell him how I loved him. And I thought, if I must feel that as a shepherd over a sheep that I baptized in Jesus' name, and I saw get the Holy Ghost, how much more does the Holy Ghost want to come to us and hold us and minister to us and do something great for us? How much more does the Holy Ghost want to do something for us? I want to tell the congregation tonight, the Holy Ghost is jealously desiring to lead and guide and minister to you like never before. He's saying, let me do my job. He's saying, let me do my work. I long to do it. Let me work! Let me work! Let me work! Come on, people! Let me work! The Holy Ghost says. At home. There's a lady, her husband was an old-time Pentecostal that started churches all over Louisiana. Sister Trout will know them. Their names was a couple. And he started church down in Flatwoods and Sharp and all out in the Red Clay Hills there of Louisiana. And I walked in that nursing home, and there she was with her hands full by arthritis, crippling arthritis. And there she was with her body in pain and wrecking there. And she looked at me, and tears were flowing down her eyes. And I said, "What's wrong, Sister Gov Couples?" She said, "Well, Brother Anthony," she said, "I just can't take care of myself." And she said, "I see other people doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I see other people taking care of my house when I'm supposed to be taking care of it. And I see other people taking care of my kids when I'm supposed to be taking care of them." And it says, "Brother Anthony, it's just driving me crazy. Not the sickness, but that I am not able to do what I need to be doing." And when she told me that again, this message hit me. Oh, how the Holy Ghost must have tears, must be brokenhearted when he looks down at we simple Pentecostals and he sees us doing things for ourselves that he should be doing. What I'm trying to say is, he has led the lust, the envy, the jealousy, because he wants to supply every one of your needs that you look for here, you look for there. Are we built upon with our preaching talent? Are we built upon with our music talent? God is saying, "I'm lusting after you. I want every part of you. I want every member of your body. I want it." The other day, began to read this Bible. Those of you preachers here in this congregation, part of it, just a news fan, just a trial for the trial. Others in this congregation that are ministers, they'll know what I'm talking about. Every time we go in the Word of God, it seems like we're having to get a sermon. The other night, we had a minister that was going to preach, but the fact was Brother John King on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I opened my Bible up on that weekend knowing I didn't have to prepare for anything. And tears came to my eyes. I said, "Lord, this is going to be such a great privilege because I'm going to look into your Word. And I'm not going to look there for a sermon, but I'm going to look somehow for you to minister to me." And I began to learn through Psalms. And I read a few Psalms. Then I went to Proverbs, and Proverbs spoke. Then I went to the book of James. If you want to know how to live, you read the book of James, you read the book of Psalms, and you read the book of Proverbs. It will change your lifestyle completely. And I began to look at those books, and that book became alive to me. I didn't have a Greek lexicon. I didn't have biblical illustrators out. I didn't have sermon books stacked up on my desk. All I had was that good old book. And I said, "Oh, Holy Ghost, talk to me. Come on, Holy Ghost, talk to me." I wasn't worried about Sennacherib nor who he begat. I wasn't worried about Jehoiakim nor his dog. I wasn't worried about Ahab nor anybody else or none of their chariots. The only thing I wanted to do was for that book to open up and speak to me. Let me tell you something. There's a power in that, Pentecostal. I want to tell you what the Holy Ghost wants to do. He wants to speak to us. If we would get that book out, we read everything else. We study every other book. We read every sermon book we can get our hands up. Don't get me wrong, you better. But let me tell you what you better do first and what you better do last. You better open up this old book, the Bible. You better lay it before you and say, "Now come on, Holy Ghost. I'm not giving my mind to nothing else. I'm not giving my hands to nothing else. I'm not giving my heart to nothing else. Talk to me, Holy Ghost. Talk to me." Making decisions. "Lord, I'm preaching on everything now, but I might as well keep going. I feel the Holy Ghost." I tell you, before you make any decisions, before you make about changing churches, those of you that's part of the Dover Church or the Northeast Churches, before you think about moving out of here because of a job, you better seek God about it. Many of them even miss the will of God that way. You better pray about everything you do. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, you better do it all in the name of Jesus. You better see what the Holy Ghost has to say about it. What does the Holy Ghost say? That's what's important to me. It's time we get back to Spirit-led people. I'm telling you, if we don't watch it, we'll rely on our talents and our abilities and our ways and our means and our musical instruments and our speaker system and our talents, and we'll rule God right out the back door. We are not people that's filled with talent. Is it becomes sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. But we are people that have been led by the Holy Ghost, that have been anointed by the Holy Ghost, that have been Spirit-led folks. God's saying, "I got the blueprint for your life. Listen to me. I'm going to preach to the college tonight, too. Listen, God's got the blueprint for your life. walk in, I had students walk into my office. I've even had young married couples that said, "My, how in the world, Brother Anthony, did I get in the fix I'm getting in?" I said, "It's very simple." I said, "You just didn't talk to the Holy Ghost about it. That's where we get in our problems we get in. We don't talk to the Holy Ghost about it. It makes me sick when they come in and tell me, 'Well, look where I am. How did I get here?' Well, I knew good and well they never talked to God about it." You want the blessings of God? Talk to Him. Fellowship with Him.
I heard Evan in one of our Sunday school classes. One of our teachers was talking about the Samaritan and how that the Good Samaritan came along. That teacher was saying to those little 8 or 9 year old girls, "I tell you what, they grabbed that man, they beat him, they blooded his nose, they blacked his eyes. And this man came along and he was a bleeding, his eyes were closed, and his back was beaten, and his bones were broken, and it was filth and corruption there. It was a horrible sight." Said, and that man came along, the teacher stopped and said, "Now what would you do if you came along?" And the little girl raised her hand, looked at him and said, "Well, if I saw him, I'd probably throw up." Made her think. And when people come in and tell me that they don't know how they got to where they are, it makes me sick. Because we're spiritual people. And if we stay close contact with the Holy Ghost, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. God doesn't make a mistake. God's got His hand on you if you learn to lean on Him. Holy Ghost is saying, "I don't want nobody else doing for you what I'm supposed to be doing." One of our young men that I prayed to in a nursing home, the reason why he's in a nursing home is because a number of years ago, a sister, Mick and myself, went to a Dairy Queen after a Wednesday night service, and he came by. His mother and dad was in the church, but he wasn't. He had hair down here. He was popped up so high on peel, he was floating around. I said, "William, when are you going to come to church?" He said, "Not anytime soon." And within 24 hours, he went out to a creek, swam and dove out of a tree, hit the bottom and broke his neck. And he was paralyzed from his neck down. And there he was when we prayed him back from death in the hospital. For 2 years, he battled it, said, "I still don't want anything to do with God." Lying in that bed, he cannot move nothing but his eyelids and his mouth and his ears. What little bit he can do with that? Can't move one thing from his neck down. And all of a sudden, he said, "Get me, Brother Anthony." After about 2 years there, I went in there and I prayed for him, and God delivered him from alcohol, God delivered him from dope, God delivered him from cigarettes. We baptized him in the name of Jesus, and God changed his life completely. Let me tell you where he is if you come to Alexandria. Every service, he'll be right over against the left wall on the stretcher. He still can't move anything, just trapping him. See, he's sitting there, he has to have his hand. Brother Lumpkin was there for a year, he knows him. He was there against that wall, and big old tears flowing down his cheek. And last week, this really what spurned all this message in my heart. This is outside of the Holy Ghost lying, it's be born. But it's just some incidences that got a hold of me. And I walked over to him. I said, "William, how you feeling?" He said, "Well, I'm feeling just great." But he said, "There's only one thing wrong with Anthony." I said, "What is it, William?" He said, "I just wish I could serve God with my arms. I wish I could clap my hands to Him. I wish I could walk around." He has taught a Search for Truth Bible study. He has won a boy in our church by the name of Lindsay, who is one of the most outstanding young men. He's a banjo picker out of this world. He's now traveling with the Whip Signs. He's had the Holy Ghost a year. William got that chart. He got his mother to go with him to teach it. They would take him and put him on a stretcher. He'd go to this boy's house. He'd put that stick in his mouth. He'd turn the chart. He'd poke those scriptures. You better hear me. He'd poke that chart with that stick in his mouth. He'd quote those scriptures and read those scriptures. He won that young man. I said, "William, what more do you want to do?" He said, "Oh, Brother Anthony, if I could just use my hands, if I could just use my feet, I could do so much more for the Lord if I could just go." And when I heard that, I said, how many of us have paralyzed God? We've got our hands that's not being used for Him. We've got our legs that's not being used for Him. We've got our tongue that's not being used for Him. Hear me! On the first night of this music conference, I tell you, it's time that we start relying on the Holy Ghost. Rely on what you learn here, you're in trouble. If you don't rely on what you learn from Randy Wolf and Jackson, you're in trouble. That's not where it is. You've got to prepare yourself. But after you get the knowledge, you better step back and say, "Holy Ghost, I'm nothing. I'm just dust of the ground, and
unless you come down and anoint all of this night, we won't get anywhere. And I want to tell you something, Holy Ghost. I don't want to try to do it without you. I want you to be in every sermon I preach. I want you to be there in every song I sing. I want you to be in every service that I'm in. Holy Ghost, I'm yours. I'm yours.
You. What you are giving to somebody else, Pentecostal, it's yes. We relying on everything else, tranquilizers and uppers and downers and boo-hoo peels and ha-ha peels and the Holy Ghost is saying, I want you. Don't get it from there. I want you.
Isaiah 9 and 6, I read some the other day and I screamed, what be hallelujah, thank you, Jesus.
Shall be called Wonderful Counsel, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Prince of Peace there being interpreted,
tranquilized. He's my tranquilized. He's my peace. He's my joy.
I'm ready to be it. People coming to me, even Pentecostals, though they did not see it, they come and say, Brother Anthony said, all these people talking about the day after, that movie that ABC put on the day after, it's got America shaking the day after. I look back at them and say, man, I'm not concerned about the day after. I know about the day before. The peace!
He wants to be there. He wants to lead you. Ministers of music, he wants to lead you. But you got to rely on the Holy Ghost.
Preachers, Bible college students, he wants to lead you. But you got to rely on the Holy Ghost.
Past September, we had an old home, and it was really old. We only had one bathroom. And so we sold it, and then moved it off of our property. And we'd been making plans to build us a home in Alexandria that where we could house ministers and entertain and things along for church people. And so for almost 1 year now, it will be end of August, we've been living with my folks. Now, if you think that isn't something, it is really something. I've been living with that Lanny Gerald, and of course, the pride and joy of that home is Michael. And I correct her, and then they re-correct her, and when they get through with her, everything I've done is no good. But you know, I've noticed something. I told the church about it last week, and they really got a kick out of it. But it's really true. Now, my mother and my wife get along just something unbelievable. I've never heard them have a cross word. You know, a lot of mother-in-laws, I get along, Brother Lumpkin and Sister Mickey's mother, I get along with her great. But you know, the mother-in-law and that new kid that comes in the family, there's always that adjusting period. And it's always the time when she's taken along as her kid. And Mother and Mickey's never had a problem, never had a cross word. But for the past year, or really 9 months now, I've really been observing something. I would sit down at the counter, and we would be eating, and I'd say, I think, Mickey, I want a Coke. Would you get me a Coke? No, Mickey, you sit down. I'm going to get it. And Mother's already at the icebox. Has the Coke back in front of me before I ever move. Mickey, I think I'll take some more. No, Mickey, I got it. And before she can move, she's already got the peas over there, the cornbread, everything. Anything I want, I just say it to Mickey, and before Mickey can move, Mother has done it. You know why? Because for 18 years, that's what she did. And now this little thing has come along. And so is her darling. She sees her doing what she's been doing. And now I'm back in the house. And it's going to put 10 years on my mother's life. Because she's getting to do for me what she did for 18 years. And I think of those of you, I watched a number of our kids have to go away to college. And I watch them come home. And those mothers run out there when they come home. I know you've done it, and I know you've done it. I know Sister News Fan did it, and Tim or Lisa come home from college. Man, they hated to wash clothes while we were there. But since we've been gone, waiting in the driveway, you got any dirty clothes? Let me wash them for you, honey. You got any food? You got a meal on the beach? Let me do it. Let me do it. Come on. Let me do it. Let me do it. I'm sure the trout, every time Anthony gets to come over and get away from that sweet little wife, don't you know those trout just get over and hug and kiss and cook because they're getting to do it? You know what I'm talking about? And that's just the way the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost looks at us and we've allowed our talents and we've allowed our abilities and we give ourselves to everything else and He sees somebody else doing what He's supposed to be doing and He said, I literally begin to lust after you. I just get envious over you. I get so jealous about you because you see, you're mine. I bought you with a price. You belong to me. And please don't go to your talents. And please don't go to your ability. And please don't go to your knowledge. And please don't go to comfort somewhere else. And please don't go to your friends. But come to me. Come to me. I want to be your helper. I want to be your comforter. I want to be your anointer. I want to be your pastor. I want to be your mother, your daddy, your sister, your brother. That's what Holy Ghost is saying. I lust to envy when I see you giving any member of your body to anything else. Because you see, the Holy Ghost says, hey, I bought you. I purchased you. I gave birth to you. You're my child. You belong to me. You're mine. You're bought with a price. You're not the world. You're not the devil. You're not talent. You're nothing else. You're mine. I want every bit of you. Come here, honey. The Holy Ghost says, come here. Let me squeeze you. Talk to me. Tell me you love me. Tell me your problems. Tell me your situation. I want it. Would you stand?
Let's gather to the front here and have a moment of prayer. Could we do that? Come on to the front with me. Would you do
that?
Gather as close as you can here. I think the Lord would want us to pray. That's it. Move on up in here. That'll be fine. Step on up in there so everybody can get down here tonight.
Will ever do.
Not
my just
heart. He wants
all
of
your heart.
Holy Ghost is
all
high.
He wants
is all.
All He wants is you.
Hallelujah.
All He wants is you.
Hallelujah. That's all He wants tonight.
Nothing
every bit of you. Nothing else. He wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants your strength. He wants your soul. The Holy Ghost wants everything.
He's envious. He's lusting envy over you. He's jealous over you. You're His. You belong to Him.
Lord, every member of us. Come on, church at Dover. Come on, church of Northeast. Come on, saints of the Most High God. Let God speak to you. Let us realize we are people that must allow the Holy Ghost.
Nothing else will ever do.
Not just a part.
Not just a part.
He wants all.
He wants
every bit of it.
Of your heart. All He wants is all of you.
All
He wants
is you.
Is you.
lady, man to man, with the exception of this, is your companion. You can feel free to do so. Slip your arm around somebody there. Pray with them right now. Ask the Holy Ghost to use them. Ask the Holy Ghost to move through them. Hallelujah. Let us realize we're a people that must.
Thank you.